Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. We're in our series on nations and in a section on red heifers. And we were talking about a Facebook conversation that I had concerning the red heifer, which had to do with somebody talking about the red heifer of some breeder here in the United States who was supposed to be perfect. And then, unfortunately, they found out he had a couple of white hairs. And so, therefore, they couldn't use him for the sacrifice of the red heifer. And if you caught the last show, you will know that the red heifer has nothing to do with the color red, has nothing to do with a heifer cow. And they didn't take a heifer cow outside the camp and set it on fire and burn it up and take the ashes and mix with water. They did eventually, but it was only after they misinterpreted what Moses was telling them in his book. They went off in captivity at times, and almost immediately. And we see the same thing with Christ in the first century church, that as soon as they started doing things, people are out there, you know, keeping days and making rituals important and getting away from the actual character of Christ. And, you know, of course, by the time they had Constantine, they had lots of volunteers to go the wrong way. And they actually invented a whole new church, claiming to have legalized the church. But the church was legal because Christ made it legal. The church was established by Christ, who was a king of Judea, who took the kingdom away from the Pharisees, who said they had no king but Caesar. They're out now, because they've just violated their own law, made Caesar their king. That means they are saying, what is David to us? We got Caesar. That's what they did. They abandoned the kingdom. They went out. They were the remnant. Now they're nobody. They become the lost sheep. At the same time, Jews by the thousands accepted Christ as king, got his baptism, and established his government, operating by faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty. Many of them were still called Jews from the Roman point of view, but they would not be participants in the Roman sacrifice, the Roman system of Corban. They wouldn't apply to Caesar for benefits, the Patronus of Rome. They wouldn't apply to that father of the earth for benefits. They would look out amongst themselves and provide them themselves in a system of Corban that was called, in Roman law, private religion. They privately, you know, kind of like the Amish, took care of the needy of their society through faith, hope, and charity, through contributions amongst their own community. And they gave these contributions to the ministers that Christ appointed and met the qualifications of Christ. And this was the church. These were the living altars that they talk about in the New Testament. These living stones who receive the sacrifices of the people and go from house to house rightly dividing the bread as well as the word. The doing of what Christ said. They were their own social welfare system. And then we show in this conversation on Facebook, as well as in other places, and in hopefully if I ever get it done, the new book we'll have coming out, they take care of one another through faith, hope, and charity. That's what their sacrifices are for. That's what they were for back in the days of Abraham. They set up these altars to help one another. You know, there were famines. There were outlaws and crooks who would steal from a family and they wouldn't have enough food to get them through the winter. But the community says, oh, no, you're a good family, that you shouldn't starve to death and die in the ditch. We're going to help you out. We're going to be good Samaritans. And we're going to do it through our altars, because there's lots of guys who come along and apply for benefits from men who exercise authority. And they'll lie. They'll say, oh, I can't work. I get a headache if I work for more than 3 hours. But I can play video games all day. You know, I get traumatized by, you know, seeing too much work. And I got another baby coming. I can't work. So you got to send me a check, take care of my baby and all my other babies. And if my babies start growing up, I can just go have another baby, and then you can send me another check until I'm an old woman. Then you got to send me a check because I'm old. And I never have to go to work. And I can even complain that you don't give me a big enough check. And I got to have my EBT card so I can get free food. And then I send all my kids off to the free education so that I can sit around in the apartment all day and eat chocolate. Now, I know that that's not all. No, they're always going to show you where welfare actually saves somebody. I'm sure you can find that. Just yesterday, my wife and I were doing our every other month shopping tour. We were getting ready for the Burning Bush Festival, and we were picking up stuff in town. We were shopping all day long, and we were also, you know, somebody had a tire that got shredded, and somebody else had a tire that was flat, and so we had tires stacked up, and when we went in to get different ones fixed, and there's a place where we can get cheap tires, and you know, so we're running around doing all these errands, going from place to place, and we grabbed a sandwich, a bite to eat, and we were coming out of a place, and this guy who we had seen on one of the corners, you know, holding up a sign, you know, help me out, need food, all this kind of stuff. And he's walking around with his dog. He's always got his little dog. And he says, you want to know if we would help him out? And I look over at him, and he says, oh, well, I got a friend. He's trying to get a bus back to Redmond, and he needs $6. And I only got $2, and it's all in pennies, because that's what people give me, is pennies. And you know, I see people handing him dollar bills. Actually seen them handing him out the window, and him and all the other guys. And what I think the guy he's talking about, because I saw him with the guy at one time, he's nicely dressed and everything, got a car, doesn't need a bus, he's not trying to get a bus back. I think he's the guy who shuttles these bums around, and then they collect money, and then they share with him for shuttling them around, getting them food. Maybe even he's got some house that he puts them all up in or something. We've seen them dressed up, and they come in shifts. They actually wait. The next guy waits over, and then at a certain time, he's checking his watch or checking his phone, and he goes over, and he takes over for the other guy. So they come in shifts, and they got designated corners. But we've seen them when, after the shift, they go over and they change their coat, put on a nice coat, and get into a nice car and drive away. But they're bums, supposedly. You know, need help. Help us. So anyway, he says that all he's got is pennies. And I says, so, and he says, I'm standing over here because I probably smell bad because I've been camping. I says, so why have you only been camping? He says, well, that's a life choice. And my first thought is, well, you're making some bad choices, because if you went and got a job, you could give the guy the $6. But he made the choice of not working and camping out all the time. And he says, well, he gets a Social Security check, but, you know, it's all tied up in bills, and he only needs $6. Like, they don't make change at the bus station. And so his story is falling apart as I question him. You know, it's just insane. And I told him, I says, well, I don't get a Social Security check. As a matter of fact, I don't even have a Social Security number. If I make money, I make it because I work. And I don't get money any other way than by working. And, you know, basically, he needs to make different life choices instead of just camping out and sitting around all day doing nothing and begging for a living. Why don't you get to work? Which I'll bring up in our series on sloth. Because the slothful should be under tribute. So here we got these guys who are already sucking off of the benefactors who exercise authority, getting a regular check, and out begging too, for more. Providing no service to anybody but themselves. And it was kind of interesting, but I could tell you a lot more details of the, about this interaction with this individual. But anyway, the point is the red heifer is welfare outside the local community. It's welfare to those round about you. It's foreign aid. And you give it up entirely, no strings attached. But you give it up wisely. You give it up to, you know, you don't give it up to neighbors that are doing terrible things. You give it up to neighbors that are decent. You know, like what Abraham is. He's setting up these altars. And so that when he needed help, these guys said, well, we're going to help Abraham. Because he's a great guy. He's helped us out when we needed help. He has a moral code to his sacrifice. You know, like a little child screaming and yelling that they want something. So you go beg something from one group that are hard working, and you give it to the screaming child who, and you spoil them. And you think that's charity. That's not charity. The child should have gone without. The child should not have been comforted in their outrageous behavior, their riotous behavior. They should have continued to fast from getting what they wanted. But you thought, oh, it'll make them happy. You see, that's not the spirit of Christ. He didn't come to make you happy. He came to get you to repent, to turn around, to start serving others. You see, there's this whole thing of the spiritual kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is within you first. And one of the guys kept saying to me, this bum, he kept saying, well, I don't want to offend you. You don't offend me. You offend yourself. You offend life itself. You squander your life. You do nothing with it. Your lifestyle is fruitless. You know, he was fairly young compared to me. Everybody's fairly young. So anyway, I got about 500 bales I have to go pick up out in the field by hand. And I'm older than Israel. So come on out there with me. See if you want to do that. He's probably half my age. I doubt he could do it. Not consistently. You know, he might. I've seen this before where a guy, he does a lot of really hard work the first day. Second day, does some hard work and lots of smoke breaks. Third day, you find his shovel sitting in a hole. And he's gone. He's out of there. He's working every day. You know, you want to keep holy the Sabbath? Be diligent the other 6 days. Work the other 6 days. So anyway, the red heifer was to be out of the surplus of Israel. That if you were doing really good and living a decent life and taking care of your family, taking care of the needy amongst yourselves, then you should take your surplus out. Because the word red there, that's just a dhamma. That's just red. You know, the red clay, a dhamma, the red, that's you. And, you know, the heifer, that has to do with surplus. You take your surplus outside and you give it away to other people outside of your nation who have not yet joined your living network. And you give it away to those that you think are deserving and need help. And you can fudge that line a little bit back and forth. And you should do so according to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because there are some people, you know, they've kind of screwed up. you know, they've wasted and squandered their life. But they could repent. And there's evidence that they could repent. You know, like you saw them once take off their coat and give to somebody else who was in need. Well, that's a sign that somebody might kind of be at the gate of the kingdom. Because he's got that sharing spirit of Christ. Or maybe you saw him forgive somebody who injured him. And he says, and I forgive you. I understand you've lost your temper and, you know, you're screaming and yelling because you're angry. You're upset. That's okay. I forgive that. Or maybe you didn't actually see them say that, but you have a sense that they want to forgive that individual. They're at the gate of the kingdom. They want to come in the name of Christ. So you help them with their unbelief. You give to them when they're in need. You know, a touching scene in the movie, I think it's Jesus of Nazareth. And I was trying to remember the name of the lady who played the actor, but she used to be married to Mel Brooks before he died, which I always thought was amazing. But anyway, she's playing Mary Magdalene in the movie, and incorrectly, not who Mary Magdalene really was, but according, you know, I can see Hollywood stories without getting all worked up about the fact that they're not really telling the biblical story as it was, but it was a touching scene where she received the bread at the loaves and fishes scene, and she begins to weep because she has not been satisfied with who she's become. She's wanted to repent. And the receiving of that free bread through the charity of others, she began to weep. It helped her with her unbelief. She had come out to see and hear, curious. She'd come to the gate, but she hadn't yet entered in. But now somebody gave her something and helped her take the next step. And she changed. She repented. That's it. Changing of the mind. And so that's what the red heifer is about. That's what all sacrifice is about. To help people with their unbelief. To show people that people can actually love one another. You want to help the poor? Get a job. Live on cheap. Even if you have to eat spam. Oh my gosh, spam pork. Oh my gosh. Actually, spam's not cheap anymore. There's a lot cheaper things than spam. So don't eat spam. But, you know, eat broke food, what they call broke food. And take your extra money that you have left over now because you didn't spend much on yourself and give that away. You know, there you got. That's interesting. You took, you know, like the virgins and their oil. The ones who didn't trim their wick. Burned up their oil, wasted their oil, and now don't have any oil. One of those that trim their wick and preserve their oil to give them their oil. You know, that's what Social Security is all about. And they said, no, we only have so much oil. You go get your own oil. Well, we never, you know, we were, go get your own oil. See, this is what this guy, he wants me to give him money so that he could do something for this guy who brings them food and stuff. You want to do something for him? Get a job. Be diligent. Strive. Take that money and do something for him. Actually, that's not really what he wants to do, but if that were true, what he said, then give him that. Usually what these guys are standing far off because they don't want you to smell the alcohol on their breath. We've had that before. We've been accosted more than once by these guys. These are bums. These are not the deserving poor. Now, you might find amongst them, and I actually had one guy who asked for, well, actually, he probably wasn't the deserving poor, but he said he wanted money because he was hungry. And we were out in front of a restaurant. I says, well, come on in. I'll buy you a dinner. He didn't want to come in. I says, well, you're hungry. You know, we can go in here and I'll buy you dinner. We'll take a back booth. I think it was breakfast that he was ready for or whatever. And he wouldn't go. He wasn't really hungry. I think he was thirsty. He He wanted that money. So anyway, the red heifer, that's what it's all about. It has nothing to do with this perfect sacrifice to wear these robes and, you know, put on these hats. And, you know, if you get a costume, you can be a Levite too. And no, it's not about that. It's about real community. It's about real love. It's about really serving one another. And sometimes serving one another is saying, you can't have any oil. You know, like the foolish virgins. You have to go get your own. And you may miss the boat because you've squandered your time. You get cast into utter darkness. Because you were not diligent. You were slothful. So in the course of this, people were trying to say, you know, they showed them a video. Somebody sent a video that was made at one of our, it's not a very good quality video, the sounds, you know, it was done with a little tiny camera kind of thing. But you can hear it if you listen. There were kids playing around and everything like that. We'll try to maybe make some better ones this next Burning Bush Festival, which is coming right up here in about a week out here in Oregon if you want to come to it. And we have it every year, and there won't be a lot of people because there's groups of people working on building a house in the Midwest because somebody had a house burned down, so they're all coming to help build them a new dwelling. And we're not doing that with email. See, if you're only on an email group, you won't be a part of that. And I've got a number of other projects that we've got going on behind the scenes. But it's actually not behind the scenes, it's just behind the email scenes. If you're into the email scene, you won't get that. When you're starving because there's no more food in the grocery stores and there's riots in the streets and you give us a call and all you've ever done is send emails, we'll just send you email pictures of foods. And if you got enough bandwidth, we'll send you big, huge pictures of lots of food. Because you believe in a virtual kingdom. You don't believe in an actual kingdom. You don't believe in a virtuous kingdom, but a virtual kingdom. So anyway, that's what you need to do. You need to gather together with one another in real ways. This is what Abraham was doing. This is what Moses was doing. This is what they were doing with the Levites. And this is what the early church was doing. Because societies that go the way that you have chosen, they crumble. They fall apart. They get filled with corruption. Their leaders are corrupted by the power you gave them. And you gave them power so they could take from your neighbor so that you could have free bread, free education, free Social Security. One of the things he was talking about is Social Security, Corbin. We're saying Corbin, the system of the Pharisees, the Corbin of the Pharisees that was making the word of God to none effect. People always tell you this. Says, no, it was that they were sacrificing their property to the temple, and then they were saying they didn't have to do for their parents. It had nothing to do with Social Security. It had to do with their sacrifice. That's exactly what Social Security is. My wife and I met in a convalescent home. People dump their parents in those convalescent homes. They come once a year, a couple times a year to visit their parents. And who was paying for this? Was it them? No, it was Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. They're paying for them. The family wasn't paying for it. They got men who call themselves benefactors to pay for it. They had to do no more ought for their family. They didn't have to take care. They didn't have to deal with the guy with the Alzheimer's and all that stuff. He was in the home. You know, we'll go by and visit him once a month or maybe every other month or... Has it been 3 months? They do no more ought for their parents because they got Social Security. I know guys who are actually living with their parents on Social Security, and they tell me that they're the caregiver for their parents. They're living on their parents' Social Security check. They're not the caregiver. The benefactors who exercise authority. The fathers of the earth are their caregiver, and they only give what they take away from your neighbor. You're crazy. That's your religion. That's how you take care of your obligation to the needy of your society, to men who exercise authority. John the Baptist said no. Till John the Baptist, everybody thought that was okay. It's not okay. You're supposed to be taking care of everybody through faith, hope, and charity. to free will offerings. That's why you see that phrase over and over again. They don't even always translate it free will offering, but that's what it says over and over again in the Old Testament. Free will offerings, free will offerings. Free will offerings are charity. Social Security is not charity. It's not a free will offering. It's a compelled offering by men who call themselves benefactors. And it's making the word of God to none effect while your preacher is tickling your ears. It's time to repent. It's time to actually get together. In the name of Christ, to get together. Start sacrificing yourselves for one another. And then we can get to the sacrifice of the red heifer. But by then we will have the living temple. We'll be right back to Keys of the Kingdom.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, God bless America, and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Thank you. Things seem to be going wrong in the world today. Every aspect of our life seems to be under attack sometimes. Many struggle to make sense out of it. What is really going on? Identifying the problem is critical to any solution. Many people claim to have answers. But what is the truth? What works? What has worked in the past? History does repeat itself, and you must learn from it. You have choices. We cannot change the course of history, but we may change our role in it. All roads lead to Rome. All roads lead to the kingdom of God. The question is, which way are you going? Join us to make sense out of it all for an iconoclastic look at the world yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and hear about the keys of the kingdom.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. So anyway, on Facebook, when they showed that little video that we had on the red heifer, that caused a little bit of a stir with that little group that are friends to this individual. And he let the debate go on his wall, so to speak. I never quite understand all that. But anyway, he let the debate go on because one individual took, you know, was a upset by some of the things that we were saying. And he actually, first he says that Jesus never disagreed with the doctrines of the Pharisees anywhere. He only disagreed with the teachings of the Pharisees. And I thought that that didn't make any sense to me, because the same word for doctrines and teachings, you know, it's the same original word. Now, there's slight differences. It's like if I made reference to your hat, that's one way of talking about your hat. I'm saying your hat there. But then I could also say what you're wearing on your head. I made no mention of your hat. I just mentioned what you're wearing on your head. And I could say, I love your hat, but I don't like what you're wearing on your head. That doesn't make any sense, because what you're wearing on your head is your hat. And this is what this guy is saying. He disagreed with what they were teaching, but not with their doctrines. But what their doctrines are is what they were teaching. And what they were teaching was called their doctrines. And yes, the words are slightly different in reference, but it's just from the point of view. They're talking about the same things. And Jesus adamantly disagreed with the doctrines and teachings of the Pharisees, because they didn't even know Moses. Now, they were reading the Torah, what you call the Old Testament, in the Pentateuch, the first five books. They were reading that, but they were coming to a different conclusion than a large number of other people in Judea at that time. Because the Essenes thought that the interpretation by the Pharisees was a fiction and a fraud. And they wouldn't have anything to do with their animal sacrifice. Most of them. I mean, they weren't all doing the same thing either. Just like you have 40,000 different denominations, all reading the same Bible, but coming to different conclusions about doctrines. And if you read the doctrines of most churches, almost very little of it is actually quoting Christ. Most of it is quoting men who talk about Christ, who think that religion is what you think, not necessarily what you do. Now, some churches emphasize what you do a little bit more, but almost none of them emphasize what the early church was doing, which was providing the entire social welfare of the people. I remember a first century church group, you know, that was supposedly studying the first century church, and then in the course of a conversation with them, all of a sudden they said, well, yeah, but there was no welfare systems in Rome at that time. And I thought, like, what are you talking about? How can you be studying first century church and not know that there was a vast system of welfare in Rome that had grown by leaps and bounds under Augustus, the first emperor of Rome, but also under Tiberius, and even Caligula expanded the welfare system. And others, I mean, they eventually included total health care, universal health care, and everything. and it was bankrupting the nation. Free bread and circus. Now, it was okay under Augustus. He had lots and lots of money because he conquered all these people. And he actually paid for, even under his public welfare system, Augustus at times was paying half of the welfare cost out of his own personal pocket, which was rather deep because he had killed all those rich men during the Civil War and he had confiscated their properties. And he'd given a lot of it away to his cronies and his buddies and those people who helped him defeat these guys, but he was rich because he had taken all these spoils. You know, it's kind of like I always was impressed by the fact that Nixon, don't want to pick on the poor guy, but Nixon was rather poor until he became vice president. By the time he resigned as president, he was wealthy. He didn't get wealthy on that salary. So where'd that money come from? It wasn't from all his TV appearances. He wasn't good on TV. So anyway, I talk about understanding the metaphors of the language and all this kind of stuff, and I point out that modern Christians have more in common with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and even the Zealots than they have in common with the early church. They aren't doing what the early church was doing. You know, and yet there are 40,000 of these supposedly Christian denominations. The Pharisees said that they knew Moses and followed his ways and read the Torah, but actually could not even recognize what John the Baptist and Jesus was talking about. Because if in order to do so, they had to admit that their system of Corban, which was set up by Herod the Great, was making the word of God to none effect. And what was that system? You get the baptism and registration with Herod and his ministers, and you were entered into the temple rolls as a recipient of Corban. Then you will have to pay in a statutory prescribed amount set up by statutes, by ordinances with the Sanhedrin, but you will get a guaranteed payment of some sort of Social Security or welfare in the time of need for yourself. And this was so important in that society, in common in the Roman society everywhere by this time in history, that there were actually riots when money was taken out of that Corban, which is also translated treasury. It means sacrifice, but it's also translated treasury in the New Testament. When they took money out of that treasury to pay for an aqueduct, which they thought was a social benefit, bringing in fresh water into Jerusalem. And there were riots where men were bloodied and beaten to put down those riots by, you know, soldiers at the command of Pontius Pilate. And this is recorded, and Jesus even makes mention of it. But if you don't know history, you don't know what's going on. If you think Corbin is what most people are telling, Corbin is Social Security. Social Security is Corbin. It is your social welfare system. It's how you perform your duty to God and your fellow man. It is a religious system. And it is either done by faith, hope, and charity, or it is done by force. And until John the Baptist, everybody in the Roman Empire was doing it by force. And John the Baptist said, no. If you have a need, pray that your neighbor will meet that need through a free will offering. Give you your coat or, you know, out of his extra. Or give you the same with meats. You don't get an EBT card. You go to church. And your church helps you out. And if you're a lazy bum, somebody in your church ought to tell you, you know, you're a lazy bum. You're not a diligent worker. I'm working my rear end off out here. I'm doing 15, 16 hours a day. And you're not getting up till 10 o'clock. And I'm supposed to pay you? You're going to have to get out of bed early. You know, like the, can't remember the name of the show, but I'm so bad at names. There was a movie about a young boy who was going to do like the Iditarod race, or anyway, something like that. But anyway, it was this big, long dog sled race. And it was kind of an interesting show. And I guess it was somewhat based on a true story. But anyway, he wanted this fellow, who's Indian fellow, to train him. And one of the first things he did was get him up early in the morning. He did it by dousing him with snow. So anyway, that's the thing, is he had to become dedicated to working, be diligent. And today, they can sit and play video games and get a check. They can wander around the countryside and get a check every month. They don't have to work. And they can claim to be, you know, God's minister. No. You want to be God's minister, you have to live by faith. You have to live by hope. You have to live by charity. That's coming in His name. And you have to be diligent in the work that you do. And you have to wait till people decide to flow their charity in your direction, because otherwise you don't get a paycheck. So often you are torn between going out and making tents and working and actually spreading the word. There's a way, and we can show you, and we're not going to show you an email on the internet, where you can gather together and you can, the elders of the congregation can start taking on their role as the driving force in the kingdom, and the ministers can devote their time to actual ministering, because there is a flow of faith, hope, and charity in a community of people bound together by nothing but love for one another and the character of Christ. If you just want email, there are lots of email groups who'll, you know, send you emails. God gives us a perfect way to know Him. Hebrews 10:16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. This is just a continuation and a repeat of what we already saw in Jeremiah 31:33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. House of Israel, that's where God prevails. It's not a race. The seed of Abraham are men of faith who will live by faith, who will operate according to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Every one of us have heard the Holy Spirit at one time in our lives or more. And sometimes you act upon it and miraculous things happen. But are you acting upon it day after day after day? Moment after moment after moment? Or do you get distracted with religion? The second definition. The alternative definition of religion is what you think. So you study and study and study the Bible. So you think all the right things. You listen to sermon after sermon after sermon. You know, you get them on your headphones and you listen and listen and listen and listen. Because you want that knowledge of good and evil. Wrong tree. Spirit is a still, small voice. It's a quiet voice. Turn the noise off. Get still. Be still and know. Start moving from that Holy Spirit. And where that would move you is to be of service, to be invaluable, to be essential, to be prized, where everybody wants you to come to them. Come to our house, come to our house, come to our house, instead of being kicked out of house after house after house to wear out your welcome till they don't want you there anymore. They want you, but they don't want you. He will put His laws in your heart and your mind, but you must act upon those laws. You must begin to do what He said and not just think a thought. You cannot find your way back to the tree of life by merely eating of the tree of knowledge. You have to become a doer of the word. And in the moment, in the stillness of the moment, God will guide you. Once you stop acting upon what He gives you, it will set you back. He will forgive you, but you must repent and say, "Oh, I screwed up. And I have done this. God wanted me to go to talk to somebody in an airport. I was exhausted. had only had a few hours of sleep in days. And I put it off. And I didn't get it. I didn't know what I was going to say, and I was making excuses. It's not like when he used to tell me to take a tool with me when I would go on a job and I would argue with him. I argued with him about the soul of a man. And I didn't go. I didn't go over. All I had to do is go over and sit next to him, and the conversation would have developed. But evil was saying, "Oh, but you're so tired." I was talking one time to a group of men down in Texas. And it was just, and it was another one of those situations where I hadn't had sleep hardly at all, because they'd brought in people in succession. You know, there was like one group came in and then another group came in. And there was no relief. But I had all this energy and I was able to keep going and everything. And then at one point, something came out. I can't even remember the conversation. It's not important. But I said something that was out of my own vanity. I wasn't following the Spirit. I slipped over into the tree of knowledge and the tree of vanity. That's what, same thing. And the energy just drained. It was like, you know, you cut off the cord. And I mean, I just like, it was like, you know, the diehard battery toy going, I could feel it. And as I went down, and actually my head went down and I could feel it, I realized what I had done and I repented. And they come back up again. The energy level came back up again. I've actually begun talks where I was sick. I was ill. And by the time I was finished talking, I was cured. Because the energy was coming from the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will drive out illness. This is how you heal people. But they must be receptive. And in order to be receptive, you have to receive what you receive and give it away. In other words, you have to act upon the knowledge that you're given. Act upon the energy you're given and give it away. It has to flow through you. And what you are given should not be the source of begging. God is not making beggars out of his ministers. In a sense, he is, because Moses had to speak to the people about giving. And that's what I'm telling you. You need to come together in congregation and start giving to one another. And most of the preachers are telling you, you have to give to me. And I'll let God tell you that. I'm going to tell you, you have to give to one another. You have to love one another. And you shouldn't just hand, you know, somebody gets sick, somebody gets injured, everybody wants to send them a check. That's not much different than handing, you know, a $5 bill out the window as you drive by some bum with a sign. That's not efficient. That's not the way it goes. The blood doesn't flow through your body through an open stream. It flows through veins and arteries. It has a path. It must go down, pumped from the core of your being. And God's kingdom is no different. It's a network of circulatory funds, of life-giving funds. Those funds are your energy, your life. When you give up that contribution, you're giving up a portion of your life and you're putting it out there into circulation in hopes, you know, that it goes out in that artery, does good, and then comes back to you in the veins. If the blood doesn't make it back, the heart dies. But it goes through an actual channel in your body. And that's what the network of God is all about. These altars, they were connected. By the way, and this is how they formed it, that connection through the tens, hundreds, and thousands. And this is what we're doing. And the email groups are just a way in which you can start become connected and figure out where your place is in the living network. The email groups are not the living network. But anyway, in this Facebook thing, we go on and on. And, you know, I could go through this probably step by step. What I'll probably have to do is go through this, and we'll make a recording. Maybe we'll do it in the show I'm going to do this afternoon. And we'll make a recording that will take us through this step-by-step, and I will attach it to the webpage that has all my conversations concerning this, because it was an interesting study in the arguments that came back, and eventually all the arguments were ad hominems. They were not arguments concerning the topic. He avoided the topic and went off on tangents about language and all this kind of stuff, all of which I know, don't disagree with. Came back with a whole email that sounded like he was arguing against what I said, and what he was arguing for was what I said. But none of it had to do with the topic, which is, why are you forcing your neighbor to contribute to your welfare, yet saying you're coming in the name of Christ? Because Christ didn't come, Moses didn't come, to force you to contribute. That's what Caesar does. That's what Nimrod does. That's what Cain does. That's what Lamech does. Wrong kingdoms. The kingdom of God operates by faith, hope, and charity. It is extremely organized. Like Edward Gibbons talks about it, this is what scared the Roman emperors. They outlawed private religion because they saw that private religion organizes the people, like it did the friends of Abraham. It organizes them so much that they cannot be conquered by its very nature. Not even talking about the Holy Spirit that's going to operate through that network, which makes them absolutely invincible. But that's why God created that system. Built it in. It's built into that system that is bound together by love and charity and an actual organized network. Who organized your veins? You started from a little tiny embryo, and cells just started splitting and splitting and splitting, and there were more cells, and you didn't end up being looking like the blob. Well, maybe some of you did. I don't know. I'm just kidding. But the reality is they started splitting, and some became heart muscles, and some became livers, and some became kidneys, and some became arteries, and some became veins, and some became muscles. Some became bones, and then all of a sudden you pop out. How did that happen? You genetically DNA organized your entire system from those single two little cells. That's the kingdom. It's organized. It's not a blob. It's not chaos. It has veins and arteries and nervous systems. Everybody plays. There are parts to the body, and everybody plays those parts. And God guides you in that. The Spirit of God will guide you in that. It will cure all the ills. It will fix all the problems. You can't even be poisoned if you will operate according to that Holy Spirit. But you got to actually be a doer. And this was the government of God at hand, the kingdom of God at hand. People not coveting their neighbor's goods. Not asking somebody to force their neighbor to provide for them. Praying to benefactors who exercise authority. But praying to God that he would work upon the hearts of their fellow gatherers until they came together and actually formed a government based on faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. And until you do that, you will not be at liberty. You will be in a place where God will not even hear you. So repent, come back. Until then, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.